Okay, are we starting?
Okay, so Tracy had a question. If a child or somebody is ambidextrous, does that mean anything spiritually?
Not to my knowledge.
They probably had a past life where they used their right hand and then another past life where they used their left hand.
That works.
They have had two past lives.
They might have had two, yes.
Or what about, I have another thing that goes with it. What about, you know, some people are born without a leg or without an arm. Did that mean something that could have positive or negative?
Yes. Interestingly enough, this sounds like it's off, but it really isn't. Okay. During the battle with Custer, the Indians of that nation believed that if you cut off a man's arm, leg, hand, that in his next lifetime he'd be born without it. And that's what they did to their enemies. And that's why they found the soldiers so chopped up, was for that reason.
Wow.
Now, did it really occur? I don't know. But with the energy of hate, it might have. It might have. And if you're born without an arm or a leg, it can very well can be a past life carryover of the fact that in that past life, you lost that arm or leg, or whatever the case may be. So yes, you can.
Would that be particularly plausible if they incarnated from the outer darkness?
Oh, yes. Most definitely. When you incarnate from the outer darkness, unfortunately, you don't have an opportunity to go ahead and work through that baggage. And very often you come back with all sorts of physical problems, even to the point of physical ailments and illnesses. We had one case of a baby that was born with her intestines on the outside. And she was, when I checked into her past life, she had died in Cambodia. And she had been blown open. Her belly had been blown open.
Aww.
And she had died while her intestines were still out there and there were insects. In this lifetime, she was born that way. They went ahead and corrected that. But she's horrified and terrified of all insects, especially if they're...
I would imagine.
Just horrified. Interestingly enough, she started speaking Cambodian about the age of 2 or 3.
Wow.
And had memory. Not total, but a lot of memory. If you want to, get more chairs. David, you know where the chairs are? If you want to. Or you can cruise back there. There's a number of children that are born with, particularly like India, places where they truly believe in reincarnation, and it's a total belief system. They come right back. They don't have the chance to really analyze what they want the future to be or what they want their lessons to be. And they come back sometimes with all sorts of physical problems because of that. So it's kind of common. Good question.
How successful have you been in treating a child like that?
Very. Very successful. If I can get the child early. We had one in particular that was really amazing to me. He was 10 months old, and the doctors said that he would be a vegetable for the rest of his life. He couldn't turn over. He had no control of his arms or legs. And the mother who adopted him got a message that he would be healed. She called me up and she said, I have a message that you can heal my son. And I said, I don't know, I'll do whatever I can. So I brought his name, address, and everything. And we did it on a Monday night when we do our distant healing work. And I brought the energy and consciousness of the child's soul through a medium. And the child had been traumatized, and through the death process of the last lifetime, and talked to the child and got the child to decide whether or not they wanted to live this lifetime or if they wanted to stay in this particular vegetative state. And the child made the decision that they wanted to live this lifetime and they wanted to evolve. So we worked on the child, did healing on the child. Within 24 hours, the child was turning himself over. I have a photograph of him on the refrigerator back there. Within a week, the child was talking and acting normally. And the child has a very high intellect and did and is doing very well at school. You would never know that they had a beginning of that nature. So yes, the younger they are, the easier it is to do the work on them, because it hasn't been really concreted into the body. So yeah, it's a whole lot easier. Any other?
No.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, before you move on, before somebody finds another question, when we're still talking, when you said that, you know, the past lives of the children, and I think I know the answer to this, but I just want to clarify. Some children, like in the show that you were talking about a few sessions ago, that where the children could know about their past lives, they could remember things.
Yeah.
Is if some of that comes to children in dreams, I mean, I don't know that that's what it is, but is that where some of it could come from? Like some of them just dream about it, maybe?
Some of them have dreams, nightmares very often.
Okay.
Some of them just have knowledge.
Okay. Awareness. So that's what I was wondering, if it's just knowledge or if some of it will come
and
from
some dreams.
And
that's because of their purity and their innocence.
I dreamt about mine.
Say that again.
That's because of their purity and their innocence, that they don't know. Like, we're taught that this is right, this is wrong, but at a young age, they're not. So they're more susceptible to knowing.
They have their memory, and they have it, some of them really have it intact, and it's, they have the awareness, and it begins to fade around the age of 6 years old, but some of them can hang on to it as well, but it depends upon how soon they incarnated back, and the trauma of it. And sometimes it can be like, there was a little boy that incarnated from being on the Titanic and had full memory and drew the ship, kept drawing the ship over and over again, and when he was young didn't even know anything about it. Go ahead.
Now, when you pass over into the, you know, when you pass over, can you make that conscious decision? Do I want to come back?
Yeah,
you know,
make
is
that
it
decision.
You that says, I want to come back now, or I want to stay? Because there's a lot of people that want to stay on Earth that have to go into the light. And then they're like, well, I want to come right back. Can they?
Sure, they can. But it's wise not to come right back. See, the thing is about this Earth plane is, it's school. This place is all about evolving and learning and growing, and people don't know this. And heaven is a place where you can rest, recuperate, learn what you need to learn, and see what you want to do in your next incarnation or your next lifetime for higher evolvement. So you don't want to come back real quick, because there are lessons that you have to work with and decide which lessons are most important and who these lessons are going to be with, because there are unresolved hatreds, loves, all sorts of things that you might have to come back into the same family because you didn't resolve those issues and you didn't grow beyond those issues, and so you're going to have to redo them. So it might be 50, 60 years. Yes.
So does anything ever, you just said something that made me think, that's what I'm trying to ask, is do you ever go back and repeat, or
yes,
is it always forward?
No, unfortunately, you can get caught in cycles, and they're usually negative cycles, they're not positive, and they can be devastating, all the way to murder, suicide, that sort of thing. can be really rough. Yeah.
Kind of to add on to hers, is it possible to come back to that same family?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The same person.
Is it easier to come back to that same family? Like,
Is it? It's not easier, per se. But if that's where your lesson is, that's where you'll come back. Yes.
So you have two channels. You can go to the light.
Mm-hmm. Go to the light.
With God and
figure out what you need
to. Figure out the whole thing. And you can also be sitting in the darkness and be reincarnated with whatever you took with. Coming out of the darkness, you stand a much greater chance of repeating and having a terrible life.
What he said is, you can when you pass, you have a choice. You're shown a bright white light, which is Christed light.
Yes.
If you go into that light, you go over to the other side, instantaneously. Okay. If you choose not to go into that light, which you have final choice, you get earthbound into what's known as the outer darkness and or purgatory, okay, or fourth dimension. And if you incarnate from the light, you have the opportunity while you're in that light to determine what is truly your greatest priority. Which lessons do you really want to learn? Do you really want to get taken care of? They've been repeating for a while. You need to put a stop to it. It needs to be taken care of and done. So then you can figure out exactly how it is that you can do that. You can choose your mother, your father, the situation, all those things. Okay? But if you're born from the outer darkness, it's a catch can. It's the first pregnant woman with a fetus, male, female, and you will be primarily either male or female. And you'll choose that body, and with that, you carry with you your traumas, how you passed, your problems, your emotional problems. Let's say you had mental illness. You would carry that with you, your rages, your depressions, whatever, you carry that with you, and you're born with all of those, all that baggage. That's rough. I highly think you would want to choose to go into the light. It's a whole lot easier for you, and that way you can get what you need done.
What about a pregnant woman, per se, that's listening to, I've asked this before, but anyway, what about pregnant women that are listening to this, that
good
are just
point.
Learning, I mean, that aren't pregnant yet, that are soon to be pregnant or whatever, is there a prayer they can do to protect themselves
yes.
from having?
They can do the lifting on a regular basis. They can do a lifting.
And that way
and
they
that
do
will
get
ensure
pregnant.
That the right, that the soul that is meant to be with that mother and with that family will come in. But
okay.
Let's say the mother's druggy or an alcoholic and she doesn't take good care of herself and she doesn't have that glow. Ladies, you know the glow?
Mm-hmm.
That's your protection. That's the protection for your baby. Those mothers that don't take care of themselves, do drugs, they leave themselves wide open for whatever is attached to them to take hold of that fetus. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There's dangers there. So you do want to try to protect yourself and your unborn child to make sure that the child, the soul that enters that fetus will be correct and safe. It's a very good question. Yeah.
So as you've taught us, many of us, as we grow and learn, part of forgiving, part of everything, it all sets up and helps you when you go into the light because it's automatically known. I, my understanding, it's automatically under known that you you have forgiven these people you don't want. You kind of set yourself up to I can't think of what you call it, your path.
Yeah, if you, let's say you've really made enemies within your family, you have issues with your family, unresolved anger, hatred, resentment, and you haven't forgiven them, you're guaranteed to be reborn back to them. And let me tell you something, folks. You really don't want to do that.
No.
Yes.
Could you choose to be somebody's spirit guide? Say, instead
no.
of, you
no.
can't?
No, you're a human.
Okay.
You're not, you can't be a spirit guide.
Yeah, my question. There are some members of my family. I don't dislike them. I don't hate them. I don't like some of their actions. So I call it, I love them like Beth Midler from a distance. Because if I go into them, we will be arguing back and forth, bringing up things from 1957, and I can't deal with that. So I just keep away.
That works.
And yes, I think that is
that
the
works.
Best.
But
yes.
You can't hold hatred or resentment.
Oh, no, no,
okay.
no, no.
If you hold hatred or resentment, you bind yourself to them. And you don't want to because you don't like them to begin with.
No, it's not that
no,
I...
No, 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 mm-hmm. no, no, no. You don't want to bind with them.
Then, right, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. yes.
Before people pass away with cancer and stuff, you know how they kind of they relive stuff from their past? Is it something that they have to do before they cross over?
No. No. They just have some options, so they've got some time to spend. It's all okay. And a lot of times, their relatives that have passed over will come to visit them, and that's why they appear to be reliving past. It's because their loved ones are there working with them, getting them prepared to leave their physical body.
To guide them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, the guides are Holy Spirits.
Right.
They are not human. Ever. Okay? You can have some human guides, but not like your guides.
Right. The only reason I ask is because I know that earthbound spirits, some stay because of unfinished business. They want to protect, you know, their family. Some.
But it doesn't work very well.
Right.
So there are spirit guides that aren't human, and then maybe like a guide of mechanics that was a human.
You can call upon someone who has mastered mechanics, mastered painting, mastered music, whatever, to assist you. You have your guide bring them for you.
Like a teacher.
That you can do.
They're a teacher.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, teachers. Exactly.
And they would be from the light, though.
Yeah, they're always from the light. But and that's true. There are a lot of people that are afraid to leave their families because they feel certain responsibility. There are people who are afraid to leave, who just don't want to leave their property because they're so earthbound in their thinking that this is the only reality there is. And they get locked in. And then you move into their house and you've got them as a ghost in your house. Of course, they see you as a ghost in their house. So that does happen. And there are those that think they have a mission on the other side who did not go into the light, who do try to come across as teachers. They don't do well.
I have a question. Have you ever had an earthbound spirit come to you for help to get the ghost out of their house?
No.
Like, you've never had the ghost come saying, hey, there's a ghost here. Can you help me? And then you were like, hey, by the way.
Kind of, sort of.
Is it more of a why are they here?
No. I've never. They've never asked me why they're here. They didn't know they were dead. Now, when I say that, I have to. You don't know you're dead if you're alive. What are you going to say? You're dead? Excuse me. They're talking to you. They're alive. Their physical body has died. But they are alive.
Sixth sense.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like ghosts with Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, they're alive. So you can't say to your dad, you have to go on. Never do that. It's just dumb.
But it's like if your car dies here, what do? You go get yourself, you research and you get yourself a new car. You don't just...
That's what this vehicle is all about. This is your way of interacting on this earth plane. And with it's other the souls. Only way. Oh, by the way, those of you that do not wish to interact on this earth plane with other people, you're foolish because you're bypassing your lessons, and that's the whole point of being here.
That is very cool.
It can be very cool. It really can be. Once you see the truth, this place is not half bad. Now, there are bad things that happen, but you know what? It's about lessons. It's about evolvement. It's about the growing. It's about the learning. It's about freedom.
You run into good, bad, evil, and on anywhere. Yeah, good or bad, period.
It is.
Whether it's a soul or a person that is passed away, they can be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched some TV shows where they didn't know, and it finally took one of the people in the house to realize it was her granddad.
Yeah.
And he was watching over everybody, and when they didn't behave, he became a little obstinate.
It happens.
And once they realized it, and they stand, it
But they really, don't need to keep him.
Huh?
But they don't need to keep
no,
him.
No, they had, they asked to have him moved on, they had help. But once they figured it out, it made sense, especially to the adults, because they were like, what is going on and why? And they asked him, you know, they had help. They had, I think it was a medium come in and help him move on. And when he moved on, everything in the house.
I understand.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Can earthbound spirits be two places at once? Say, be like if an earthbound spirit, somebody passed away, they didn't want to go to the light because they were trying to, they have unfinished business. Can they be two places at once, or are they just solely at one place at one time with one person?
That's a good question, because a living person can be two places at once.
How often do you whip that back trick out, Carol?
Yeah, well.
Does that have to do with,
No.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I just remember about the guy that, you know, really wanted to sign the petition.
Right.
It was
and
two
he,
places
he was
at
two
once.
Places at
so
once.
It's kind of the same thing where they could do it as well.
They probably can. If it was traumatically, if it was super needed. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I was just going to say that's when science comes in too, right? Because they talk about atoms and...
Yeah, well, science, the whole... This is the thing that... It's spiritual science.
Right.
They never should have done a division between... Well, they actually didn't. All right, thank you. All right, they actually did a division between religion and science. But science in itself is spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And truth... All of this can be proven scientifically. The human soul, you can photograph a spirit, a soul, a ghost, a person after leaving their physical body. That's very easy. You can do it. You can tape record their voices. They're still material. Their atoms are going at a much higher rate of speed. They have to slow it down in order to become more material, but they're just as physical out of body as they are in body, okay? So scientifically, yes, all of this is provable and has been. The problem is nobody wants to really look at it unless you have a desire to evolve and grow and learn. And most of us don't. Yes?
Can I ask what your thoughts or experience with astral projection are?
I've done some astral projection, some knowingly, some unknowingly. Uh-huh. I did some practicing early years. And I found the easiest way to do astral projection was to set a designated place to be at. And I had a friend, actually it was my mentor, I had him put a card on a table, like a playing card, on a table, face up. And the way I did it was I fell backwards from my body. I went backwards. Instead of rising this way, I went backwards and then up. And then I found myself in his living room and looked at the card and then called him the next day and told him what the card was.
It seems like it would be difficult. I don't have experience. I've done a lot of lucid dreaming, but in distinguishing them.
A lot of your dream work is astral work.
Yeah.
Can be. Yeah.
How did you protect it? How did you protect your body?
I wasn't worried about it. I really wasn't worried about it because I knew that if I could go ahead and do that, and if it's for the right reasons, I had automatic protection because I still had my gold cord and my silver cord that connected me to my body. And I was told by my guides that if anything happened within the house, I would jar awake. And I wasn't worried about being out there because nothing could touch me. But you can always put a person protection. At that point in time, I didn't know that. Yeah.
As far as your spirit, consciousness, soul vibrating at a higher level, you have a signature frequency in body, but if that vibration rises once you are out of body,
it doesn't change.
It doesn't, but it's still the same frequency though. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if I were to touch a photograph of you in a past life, it would resonate the same energy.
Yeah.
There might be a little twist to it, okay, because of genetics. Which is another point, when you reincarnate and your soul goes into that baby's or that fetus body, it begins to go in and out, in and out, in and out, and it's adapting the DNA RNA to the soul DNA RNA. Do you understand what I mean by that? So that you become one with that body. But if you incarnate from the outer darkness, it doesn't work as well, and there are problems.
So you may come in for just like a little bit at first, and then you gradually just, get...
Yeah.
So like if you come in from the light, you get a little bit longer, maybe a little bit more...
It's like getting used to the water.
Well, and you're adapting that physical body for your soul to inhabit upon birth. I think that's why the mothers feel the soul of the child, you know, because they start adapting. They start going in and out, in and out, in and out.
Like if you get a custom suit made, you have to go in a few times for them to take your measurements and to hem it and nip and tuck at the dress or the suit or whatever.
That's good. I like that. Yeah.
That's it. How do you know that something you experience or someplace that you were there in a past life? Is there any kind of triggers that you would have?
Oh, no. Have you ever done it?
I don't know. I mean, I think so, but...
I have. I was at Nikko in Japan, and I had a past life in Nikko in Japan. Very strong past life. And when I went there, I knew where... all the temples were. I knew what was in the temples. I knew everything. And what was really bizarre, I'm standing on this hill watching all these tourists, and there was a lot of tourists. And I saw these priests, these priests walk through the tourists. I was like in two timelines at the same time. And I'm telling you what, it was freaky, and my knees began to buckle. Because it was just, I was here, and I was here at the same time. When you hit that past life place, unless it's changed considerably, and Nikko, I don't think it's changed at all. You're going to remember landmarks. You're going to remember. It feels. You feel like you're at home. You feel, I'm home. Oh my God, I miss this. This is home.
I've been places before where I knew the roads and knew where things were that I've never been there. But
well, that deja vu feeling. I've been here before. I feel like I've been here before.
Deja vu. But there's another flip on deja vu. If you have spirits that are attached to you that have lived in those places, you can have the deja vu through them.
But if you do your daily lifting.
Do your lifting. You won't have to worry about
that's
it.
That's right.
And if you still have it, then you have
you know it's yours.
Now, speaking to that, if you pick up something that was an attachment from a past life, will the regular lifting take care of that? Or is there something specific you have to do?
Sometimes you have to call it for what it is. You have to say, I would please ask the Band of Mercy to remove all spirits from all past lives through present. Because you have to name them. It's part of your evolvement and your growth evolvement. For the spirit community to recognize that you've got the lesson and you know and you have the knowledge, then you ask them to remove them and they can remove them. If you don't acknowledge that particular spirit and you haven't gotten to the point of knowledge to acknowledge that spirit, they won't remove them. It's part of your growth.
So it's sort of like the password, if you will.
Yeah. It's kind of like your third grade teacher goes, well, what's your question?
So couldn't you, Janet, in the lifting, can you not just incorporate, please remove attachments from this life? And from
you can.
Life?
I cheated for you guys, so you can now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Yeah. My pleasure.
Oh, no, come on.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
When you pass and you have all the family meet you when you're in the life, and you see, you know, you talk about the big party, so to speak. Yes. What if you're expecting to see someone and they're not there, but they have gone into the light and you know they've gone, is that because they've already incarnated again?
Yes, ma'am.
So if they have incarnated, you will not see them?
More than likely, unless they, in some cases, they have appeared at the family reunion because they were there during a dream state while they were.
There you go.
So yeah, sometimes it does happen.
They were in a dream state
that
while
makes
they were
sense.
Dreaming in body and they're reincarnated.
Correct.
Body.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
If we can go, so can they, huh?
Then that's right.
Yes. So what happens if you go into the light and you see someone that you really don't want them to be there?
I don't think it's your choice.
Oh. You know, I say, oh my gosh, again?
So, but if it's
there's some people you don't want to run into.
Well,
again.
That's just too bad.
Oh, okay.
If it's your reunion, though, can you maybe say, hey, can we catch up later?
You do whatever you want. If you really have an enemy, more than likely, they're going to be introduced to you on a leveler situation. Not upon you, just getting there.
And what about when you're trying to choose to reincarnate and you think that you have unfinished business with this soul, but that soul just absolutely does not want to deal with you in the next life? What do you?
You deal with it however you can. The thing I've found is that people are truly connected. They can be connected by hate. Cords of hate,
right,
or cords of love.
Chris.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And those cords are corded in the chakras, at the chakras, okay, and the minor chakras as well. Okay. And the minor chakras as well.
Okay.
And
I don't know if I'm asking it right, though. Can
I don't know if you are either, but don't worry about it.
So would it be
I'm getting some information.
I got it. Go ahead.
how would it be, or like what sort of emotion would be to each chakra, or how would that work?
The chakras are your that's your electrical support.
Would like love go to your heart chakra then?
Yeah.
And lust to your
lower chakra.
They're tethering you to one another.
Yeah, they do.
The lust one could get really interesting.
It does. Yes.
Why do you have some stronger bonds with some family members than others? Is that
past
more
life.
Of a past life?
Past life. Oh yeah, past life.
And hey, Carol. Can you show people how to use their fingers to see if they've had a past life? Just a little quick kinesiology.
I was actually just about to ask, does everybody have a past life?
Yes.
Or like, is it possible that you never had one?
Not maybe.
Yeah.
No, not. You did. You'd be a baby.
Brand new.
Yeah. Well, just
God does. I'm sure there are new souls that are made.
Yeah. Well, because just kind of like I've seen those like weird things where it's like your birthmarks are like possibly how you've like died in your past, and then I sit there and look at myself. I don't have a birthmark. I've never had one.
That doesn't mean anything.
I don't mean so either. It was like one of those things where I was like, okay, does that just mean like someone was like, oh, that means you went peacefully, or like.
Yeah.
You know, like,
maybe.
You've always gone peacefully. You've never
had,
like, some big trauma. So I was like, you know, I don't know.
You made some really cool birthmarks for yourself, though.
No, the birthmarks don't say whether or not you had past lives. The birthmarks can indicate the way you passed from a past life.
So, but like, if you don't have one...
Doesn't mean anything.
No.
Oh.
Cool.
I've been around a few times.
I had my husband look and double check for me, and he's like, no, I don't see anything.
Don't worry.
So it's like I felt weird because all of my friends have always had birthmarks and I don't, so.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Where was I?
You were getting info in on my question.
Info about the chakras and how the chakras are your energy center, and you were tethered into each.
Kinesiology. I don't know if I said the fingers.
Kinesiology.
Kinesiology. Middle finger to thumb, right hand. Middle finger within the right hand.
Dominant hand. You may be left-handed, correct?
You may be, yeah. You're right.
This is wrong.
Oh, right.
Dominant hand. Yeah.
Dominant hand.
So you make middle?
Encircled. The left middle to thumb.
Can we video this to put it on for a Tuesday tidbit?
Oh,
sure.
That's a good idea.
Hold on. I like alliteration, okay?
Okay. Before this all over with, I'll be doing this thing on video.
So,
I like it from that position.
The dominant hand is the first one you put together?
Dominant hand.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay, hold on.
Carol,
first one?
Yeah.
Carol,
then you.
Hold on.
All right. And middle finger to thumb, right hand or dominant. Encircled, left or lesser, thumb, middle finger. Pull from the left, or if you're a lefty, pull from the right. You're going to program your fingers by saying, I give my soul permission to hold for the answer, no. And then you'll pull. Hold. I give my soul permission to break for the answer, yes. Break. The bigger the break, bigger the yes, stronger the hold, stronger the no. Sometimes it can be maybe. You're kind of there. You haven't asked the exact correct question. This can give you the ability to go into the past lives. But you have to trust your soul and the answers that you get. If you pre-answer in your mind, this won't work. You have to kind of just keep it wide open. Very simple, easy technique. And you can work this with other things, not just with past lives.
Counting.
Only for yourself.
Only for yourself. And you cannot go into the future with this. If you try this for the future, you'll lose the ability to use it. And you'll lose faith in yourself because it won't work right. And I've worked it with other things like is this person good for me or bad for me? Say the person's name. Okay, sort of good. Not fabulous, but sort of good. Is this medication good for me or bad for me? No, not good for me. Okay. So you can use it for various things.
How much tension do you know to apply?
You just automatically hold. Okay, and if it's a yes finger, if it's a yes answer, it will break. It'll just break.
Will you speak to how to count with that? Like 1, 2, 3 versus
say that
like
again.
Counting with it? Like using
Yeah. You can go, okay, how many past lives have I had with this person? 1, 2, 3, 4. Four situations. If you get up to 30, I think you're not doing it right. Okay? Usually it's like 3 to 4, maybe 5. I had one person say, well, I had 28 lives with this person. I don't think so. If you screwed up that many times, stop it. Get away. Walk away. Give it to Lisa.
It's not worth the effort.
Not worth the effort. But it's a great technique. Called kinesiology.
I was thinking maybe do another video of how to tap out, like tapping out with the chakras, because,
workshop.
Oh, never mind. Stay tuned on the workshop for that.
There are some things that I do hold for my workshop, because they're very time consuming, and you really need to know how to do this. I'm not going to put everything out there. Well, I put a lot out there.
Mm-hmm. We've just had a lot of questions about the kinesiology, like how does that work? Like how do you count with it?
Definitely mess it up by not using it properly.
You can.
And it takes a lot to get it back working right.
Yeah, because you lose trust in self. Yeah.
Not work. Because I know personally, when I came over here, I never felt such release as you gave me. And I still don't understand, but I know you know how to.
Oh, yeah, what I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Your chakras are your breaker boxes for your electrical system, okay? Okay, well, we can go back to the cords. Anyway, depending upon what your lesson with the person is through many lifetimes, which it basically all ends up being forgiving and releasing with love. That's the basic outcome. That's what you want to achieve. Doesn't mean you don't have to incorporate life. Okay, that's not a necessity. Life is not a necessity. But you do have to forgive and release with love that soul was created by God just like you. And whether you like it or not, they are your brother or sister. It just is.
Loving them as a creation of God, not loving their actions or loving who they are at this point in time.
Right, correct.
Or the being that they are at that moment. Right.
That's right. So that's what we're trying to incorporate here. So if you can do this, it really helps. Now, when you cord to that person according to what it was, let's say they did sexual terrible things to you in a past life, it's all going to be corded, okay, in your emotional and root chakra, those two areas, and possibly heart chakra.
Like child sexual abuse.
Yes. Yeah. So you're going to have cords there. Now, what do you do with those cords?
Burn them.
Cut them. You can cut them. Now the minor chakras, I really never memorized all the minor chakras, but there are books that do show the minor chakras. You have cords in those too. Okay? So what you do is, let's say you have somebody that dominates you, whether you emotionally, whether you like it or not, and you can't seem to break away from that individual, and you want to be done with them, you want to forgive them, and you want it to be over with, and or they've died. First part, you can visualize brand new shears, cutting shears scissors, and you cut those cords. Visualize them standing in front of you. Visualize the cords going from them to you. Take those shears and cut those cords. All of them, all that you see. When you cut them, immediately cauterize the end of each one of those cords and pull it into your body. And cauterize theirs too, and see theirs going back into their body. That will release you from them. Now let's say somebody dies, and you've been very close to them, or you had a real serious hatred for them. Those cords have been severed. And you're like draining, they're like draining. They're just leaking out your life force. So what you do with that is you cauterize them and you pull them back in and release that other person. That's why mourning can be so hard on people. It's because of those cords.
Well, like spouses, sometimes you'll hear they died, they had a heart attack after their spouse died. They died of a broken heart, people will say.
Yeah, yeah, and you can. But that's a part of it, is those cords. Mm-hmm. Now, the weird thing about it is when you do sever those cords and you cut those cords, you may find yourself feeling really, really sick for about 24 hours, almost like you have the flu. And then you get well and your energy comes back and you bounce back. There are people that can drain you. Now, on that level, you've got people that are psychic vampires and they're emotional psychic vampires. I've had a couple of three cases of this recently where they were male, and it can be female just as well as it can be male. But these particular cases, they were male, and they had a love-hate for women, and they would get the woman to fall in love with them. They would feed off of that energy of that woman being in love with them. There would be a sexual encounter one time just to connect, get those cords connected, get them rolling, and they would just suck the blood, the life force out of that woman until she was just drained. I mean, physically, she looked drained. Wait. And he knowingly went from woman to woman to woman. But when the woman got smart and started to see what he was, he had to go back and record. And there are people that know how to do this. You can cut those cords with people like that. You don't have to necessarily cauterize their end of it.
Just like a succubus?
I was wondering.
Kind of. It would be a nice little way. Yes. Yeah.
To that effect, I know my husband, and this might be weird, but my husband has sometimes said, I don't know if it's me doing it or him, but like when I hug him or I'm emotional, sometimes he's like, you're draining me. And like he feels tired after I even hug him. He's like, you're draining me.
Okay.
I'm tired. Why am I doing it? Is it me?
Yeah.
I have some buy my carnelian bracelet.
Do what?
Carnelian will protect him, wouldn't it?
Yes, if he wears a carnelian, protects your energy. Worn on the left arm, the power bracelet protects his energy. My husband, he's a psychic vampire. Not always. But if he's really, when he was working, when he'd really get drained, he'd come home, pick a fight, I'd get upset. He'd pull my energy and go bouncing out the door.
That's not fair.
Yeah, it's crappy. Sorry. So, I found out about carnelian. So, he came in, he did his little fight, and I had my carnelian on. I said, can't get my energy, and I want a steak. Tonight.
And I want a ring.
That was the end of that.
If you're feeling drained, can you pull from like nature or places like that? Like,
no, the easiest way to do it, you could hug a tree. That actually works. Is take a salt bath, iodized table salt. Put it in the bath water, about a third of a cup iodized table salt. Iodized table salt, all right, in the bath water. Get it from head to toe. It will revitalize you. Yes.
Can you mix that with Epsom salt?
No.
You do your Epsom salt bath?
You can if you want to, but Epsom salt.
I was just saying, like, can you do the iodized salt in it as well? Just because, like, I do a lot of Epsom salt because I have, like, a lot of joint pain. Or would that kind of, like, counteract it?
I don't think it would hurt it.
I think, like, I could mix them in together.
But do you want Epsom salt in your hair?
It doesn't bother me.
Okay. Then go ahead and enjoy it. Do it.
And yeah. And you don't have to submerge your head for 20 minutes. Have to.
Get that straw out.
You do have
milkshake straw.
You do have to get it from head to toe. Get a sponge. You know, sponge it. It'll work.
Oh, I but sink you, down.
That works good.
But you don't have to stay there.
No.
It's not advisable.
Or your life's going to get really good really quickly.
Yeah. Why is it when that stuff happens, why is it that I draw energy from people like that when I'm not meaning to?
You've been taught that. It's a program of some kind. Your mother, father. My mother was that way. And in early years, I kind of did that myself. I literally had to break myself from doing
that. And is that one reason that maybe I have insomnia? It's hard for me to get to sleep at night?
No, that's a whole different ballgame.
And what is that ballgame?
It's not spiritual. It's emotional, mental, psychological,
so
and physical.
Heal Your Body might be a great resource for that.
Yeah, it would be. Heal Your Body is a great book. It is.
That's a great gift to give, too.
Yes, it is. That it really is. I swear. Phenomenal. You had a question back there. Where'd it go to?
Yes.
Yes.
It might have been me. Oh, I was just, it was back to the emotional succubuses. I guess I have sort of a double question now, though.
Okay.
So there are, it's not that these people should be left alone or abandoned. I mean, there's hope for having a relationship with these types of people. Or is that, does it just take extra care or?
Which kind of, what?
Well, I guess if you are the succubus or you're dealing with the succubus, either way, does it just take?
You protect yourself and you help them protect themselves.
Okay.
If you're the one that's doing it, you give them a Cornelius bracelet. I apologize. This way, you're protected. Is there hope?
Prayers that you can do if you...
No, you have to recognize what you're doing and make a choice that you will not do that. You're going to make a law in your life, a decision in your life, that you will not do that to anyone. And then find a way of revitalizing your own energy by doing the salt bath or whatever that happens to be, so you don't cause harm. Is there hope? Sure, there's always to some extent, if you know how to deal it. Yeah. Good question.
Shall we break?
Huh?
Shall we break?
We're going to break, yeah. We'll go ahead and break, and then we get back started in about 20 minutes.